Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour, July 9th, 2020. And I hope you had a good 4th of July. That was last weekend. Hope everything went well. Hope you had a lot of fireworks, things like that. Or, you know, had hot dogs, whatever. And I just wanted to say something. You know, there's this entire issue of racism. The discussion, and I want to just read something off here. There is a long list of organizations, and I just want to I'm going to refer to this later on when I talk about colleges going back to school and the Trump meeting the other day where they had all of the educators there and they're talking about opening up schools again. But there was the Organization of Black Universities. Now, I'm going to read off a list, and if you just do a Google search, and it's just do a Google search on this Organization of Black, and then leave it blank. Here's what comes up. This is the short list. So, Organization of Black Aerospace Professionals, Black Designers, Black Screenwriters, Black American Culture, Black Aerospace Professionals, Black Airline Pilots, Black Unity, Black Struggle, Black Maritime Graduates, Black Aerospace Professionals. I already had that one. But this list goes on. I mean, this is an extremely long list. Now, what I want you to do is replace the word black with white. Organization of White Aerospace Professionals, Organization of White Designers, Organization of White Screenwriters, and what you'll find is that there are no organizations like that that are exclusive to white people. And so anyway, I just want you to think about that for a minute. When they talk about race or derision of racism and things like that, I think that we got to the point in this country, although, you know, I don't believe in accusing people for the, say, crimes of previous generations, unless it's continuing in the same, in the current generation. And, for example, my ancestors were Irish. They never had slaves. You know, am I responsible for white slavery? My ancestors weren't slave owners. The Irish did not receive good treatment. I don't call myself an Irish American. I call myself an American. And so anyway, a lot of this division is on purpose. And the reason for that is to create the image that all these different, what they call races, there's really one race. It's called the human race. And that's my point of view. Is there racism? You know, I'll tell you, I work internationally with a lot of people, and in the groups of people that I hang out with, there is none. I mean, because I deal with people from all continents, etc. So, anyway, just a quick comment. I'm not going to turn this show into a commentary on social norms, things like that. But I believe it's time for the country to simply unify and just start talking about the one race, and that is the human race. Okay, on to comets. Comet Dio-WISE, I talked about this comet before, and there have been some comets previously this year, the comet Atlas and the comet Swan, that disintegrated as they approached the sun. And, you know, I had a thought. I thought that was interesting because comet disintegration at that level is really not something that's very common. It's pretty unusual. And to have two of them there, and then also for one of them, you had the European Space Agency solar probe that just happened to, which is nearly impossible. In outer space, things are so big. It's nearly impossible to just happen to have a spacecraft just happened to be passing by this comet at exactly the time it's passing through the solar system. I think that was totally planned. But could it be possible? I'm asking this, and I'm throwing it out there. Because, remember, I talked about the Gerard Butler movie called Greenland, where they have the alleged raining down of comet parts on planet Earth. Could they now have the ability, and I suspect it wouldn't be too hard, to blow up a comet nucleus? And maybe this was samples where we could see the pieces after the explosion in two comets. And then also having this observer there from the European Space Agency, this satellite, and just happened to be there at the observation point just when these things came apart, when one of them did. So anyway, my question is, and then I put that together with the idea of a false flag, where, and also NASA making the announcement that they are planning to, you know, this is Tier 2 NASA, by the way, that they're planning on hitting an asteroid and knocking out of its orbit. So anyway, up at the Tier 1 level, there certainly could be the possibility that they have the ability now to come in with a high-speed, either a drilling device, land on an asteroid, or like I say, a high-speed, like a bomb, basically, that would come in and burrow into the asteroid and then explode, or the comet nucleus in this case, and send it into a million pieces. Now, this kind of thing has been discussed as one of the options when you have an asteroid or a comet nucleus that might strike Earth. But it turns out to be a really, really bad idea, because you don't have control over this thing coming apart in a million pieces. And that is exactly the point of this movie Greenland that I talked about last week, where I saw the trailer. The trailer had 2 million views like in 2 days. So you know that YouTube is pushing this. If YouTube is pushing it, it's a CIA thing to make everybody watch it and get programmed. And then this movie, of course, is to program the kids to be scared. And, you know, fear is the mechanism that they have figured out works with the public. Fear. Look, the evening news, the stock market crash, the COVID-19, the impeachment report, whatever it is, fear. In fact, yesterday I was on John Moore's show, and a guy called in. It was very interesting. And he said COVID, COVID, which is a made-up name, well, it's coronavirus D. But anyway, that spelled backwards, COVID spelled backwards, is Divok, which is the Hebrew god of evil spirits and fear, which I thought was a very interesting observation. And so anyway, what they're looking at is fear. So I'm just pointing out that I started out talking about Comet Neowise, which is going to be potentially a visible naked eye visible comet here during the month of July. And this comet, by the way, has been very erratic, very erratic. And so I'm not going to go into more options of what they could be doing as far as playing with comets. And of course, in Tier 1 science, they know very well that my plasma discharge comet model is the correct model for comets. They very well know that because I've talked to these people. And this, the Dirty Snowball Comet, is for the mass, for you, the public. Yeah, you get the garbage science. They get the good science, and that's the way it is. Unless you're listening to my show, then you will get correct science, because that's what I do, is I have discovered all this. In fact, they learned it from me, the morons, but they want to keep it from you, the public. But anyway, I just think it's curious that all of this activity of, you know, the movie, these two comets in succession breaking up and disintegrating completely as they approach the sun. And then also coming up is the November election, which I think is important because, as I've said before, and I will repeat this, I'm going to keep repeating this, that somehow NASA, or let me modify this a little bit, NASA or the National Weather Service or NOAA would become, and this would be as kind of a combination, a combo shot, so to speak, and I'll be talking about this in a minute also, these very strange weather that's been occurring, which I am starting to believe is manipulated, where they're playing with weather systems. That's my next topic. So I'm including National Weather Service here, or NOAA, or NASA, relative to, say, an asteroid threat or something like that, something where they could pull the power grid or otherwise cause fear in the public by some means. So I'm just guessing at which rabbit they would pull out of the hat, but there could be a dozen scenarios that would result from the disinformation, false flag that would come out of NASA or NOAA. Okay, so at any rate, NASA would cover the space things, related things, or NOAA would and possibly a solar flare. This could be a combo where NASA says there's a solar flare and the data would from their satellites could be faked easily. And then combine this with NOAA of regarding weather, severe weather, and then all of a sudden manipulating the weather to make people think that this is being caused by this solar flare. So this could be a combo, but this would be right around election time to disrupt, I would say, major cities, you know, put in L.A. Or other major cities where maybe Trump would win. Because L.A., they're already cheating like crazy. There's no way anybody Republican is ever going to win there. And this is not a political agenda. This is not a political discussion. It is that this came up yesterday, and I'll repeat this because this is important, once again on John Moore's show. I think it was the same guy was talking, and he said that there's never been a fair election where we actually elected a president going way back to sometime. And that's not true. I think that the election that Trump won was truly where the American people just came out in such large numbers that they overpowered the massive cheating that was going on from the massive Clinton political machine, which is really the CIA political machine, because they're connected at the hip, going back to the Bushes and the Clintons and the MENA, Arkansas, and the drug days, and the CIA moving drugs in from South America and Noriega and Iran-Contra and all of that stuff. And so Hillary was supposed to ride the wave to become president. And that's why, by the way, the first person of thousands of people she blamed, the very first person she blamed in the election, what would you call it, the waiting room, when she realized that she had lost, she blamed George Bush Sr. Now, that's pretty bizarre because George Bush Sr. is a Republican, isn't he? And she's a Democrat, so what would they have to do together? Well, it's that the political machine picked the candidate who would win, put him in office, etc., and she was supposed to win. So how could she not win with all of the voting cheating going on all the way down to the local precinct level? And, but George Bush Sr. would have been in control of that with his, you know, magic wand extend out there and fix that election for her. So I disagreed with this guy, and I said, no, Trump won. He was, you know, he's not a career politician, never ran for office, paid his own money, took over the Republican Party, and, basically reshaped the Republican Party. So he was truly elected. And that, I do very exacting analysis, mathematical analysis, on the election results, and that's very clear. So people can believe whatever they want. But anyway, the point is that they do not want another 4 years of Trump in office. I mean, they have thrown everything in a kitchen sink at this guy, and he comes out, you know, basically unscathed time after time after time. And I don't know if anybody else on the planet could do this other than a, but anyway, this is not a political discussion. This is a discussion about the people who had control of your country and just thought it was their playground to do whatever they wanted and then handed off all this baloney to you as if they were, you know, doing good, whatever. So anyway, coming around October, November, they're going to pull out all the stops. And that's when they have to go to these bigger issues like something from space or something like a solar flare that affects the weather and then manipulating weather, etc. Just this, watch this. This is going to pull out all the stops because they cannot let this coming election run per normal. Okay, so just a little quick notice on Comet Neowise. It should be, they say, a visible naked eye comet. And it already, apparently already is. And so you can go on the internet and there will be little charts of the night sky to tell you how to see this comet up in the, I don't remember if it's in the evening or morning sky. I made a commentary on this, by the way, last week, that by crossing over behind the sun, a comet can go from being an evening comet to a morning comet or vice versa. And I made the comment that this is exactly what we see with the Christmas star, where it was a bright star with a tail, a comet, literally. And they the three wise men discovered it in the east, but they followed it to the west. Okay, so I'm not going to repeat that. Go back and listen last week. But I do have another comment about the strange weather patterns. Now, these are very localized weather systems, very small, extremely powerful localized weather systems, and there's no reason for these. There's no solar condition that we're dealing with that would be driving this kind of storm. And so, and of course, all storms are electrical in nature. So if you can't find the energy source, what is driving this storm? So one particular one was in Australia. Another one was up in the upper Midwest, like Wisconsin or something. I didn't really write down notes on that when I was busy doing some other things. So I just brushed through it quickly. But this other one in Western Australia, very strange cloud, extremely high energy. They call them wall clouds or other types. There's other terms for these type of cloud patterns. And they're, of course, naturally occurring also. But I got to thinking that this fits in along with my line of thinking that the fake solar flare report by NASA, it turns over to NOAA as far as, oh, we're going to have all this terrible weather. And then the actual bad weather occurring, which is manipulated with laser satellites, not by other means, not by HARP. HARP is an old technology, and I keep seeing that repeated today. So by people who really don't know what they're talking about, and HARP was a weather control technology, but it's been surpassed by other techniques in since the year 2000, literally. But as far as practicing weather manipulation that could affect this upcoming election, and I'm just seeing all of these things happening, and I'm going, you know, none of these things look natural, and I'm putting pieces of the puzzle together, if you can see what I'm saying. And along with my prediction, which I made a long time ago, long before I saw any of these particular things going on, these particular weather patterns or the comets being blown up or exploding, naturally, allegedly naturally exploding, etc. I made the prediction that prior to the election, we would see events on a scale that were national. And to do that, what do you need? You need something like a solar flare, a false flag CME. So once again, you have all of the factors put together. The movie to scare the crap out of everybody, including little kids. The parents, you know, worried about the little kids. And, you know, this is something, I'll be talking about this in a minute, as they're going back to school to put fear in the kids. You know, it's going to be, oh, to protect the little kids. Oh, gee, they've got this thing coming and going. Okay, so anyway, I'll jump off that topic. I'm going to read an email here. It was sent in by a listener, so I'm going to quick pull this up and quick read it. Let me just make sure. Okay, just a second. It says, "Dear Professor McCanny, your June 25th Science Hour was a classic. The material you presented was priceless, but it was your delivery that was particularly impressive. Now, don't take this the wrong way, but it sounded as if you had consumed several drinks before the broadcast or were a bit high on something." I'll tell you right now, I guarantee I wasn't, but this is interesting. So he says, I will read on. It says, "You were whimsical, humorous, yet factual. That made the presentation all the more enjoyable and powerful. I've listened to all of your paid casts and all of your science hours for the past several years, but none of them were delivered quite like this one. You were brilliant. Whatever you were doing, keep doing it, sir. Speaking of paid casts," So anyway, that's the email from a listener. And first of all, I think he was just jesting. And of course, I don't drink, certainly do anything else. I'm a pretty busy person and have to keep my brains and wits about me, what little I have left. So I was not on something. Anyway, but of course, he was suggesting that I was a little bit lighter personality possibly than normal. I'm pretty, I'm pretty straight-laced, I guess, on a lot of these shows. Also, that show, by the way, was about wind, where I talked about wind. So anyway, just thought I would read that. But thank you, listeners, and I appreciate all the people out there who listen, and to the paid casts also, and to people who are joining my Patreon channel. Doing this for 20 years, I try and make these shows so that in 20 more years, when somebody is listening to this, they get something out of it. Not only that, for example, now we're talking about the election and weather manipulation and current events, but it gives you the sign of the times. Wouldn't it be interesting if we had people just go back through history and pick out your favorite people? And wouldn't it be interesting if they each had a weekly radio program going back 20 years? So, you know, it would really give you a feeling for how things were back then. So anyway, enough of that. But thanks for listening, and I appreciate my audience, and you're the reason I do this out there, all of you listening, tuning in every week, telling other people that they should listen to my work, my broadcasts, etc. Okay. Let's see. Oh, a quick note on China. Everybody's like, oh, we've got to close our borders and we got to make everything in the United States. We can't depend on China. Let me tell you something. A lot of the stuff you buy every day, you may not know it, has stuff that's made in China. And it's probably brought here and labeled here with labels, etc. But another reason here is, take for example, I deal with Chinese people all the time. And they're really great. You know, forget about the government and all the high-level stuff. The Chinese people are really wonderful people. They're just like you and me. Don't get into this, oh, the Chinese are bad, they hate us, they're communists. You know, they're people. The people on the street are just like you and me. They have families. They care about people. They're nice people. And here's the other issue. If you buy something made in China, that's called balance of trade. So say you buy, let's say, a pen. You buy a pen that's made in China. Okay. That allows a farmer that lives out in the country, in your state, to sell his products to China so that we have a balance of trade. So we're not buying corn from China because they don't produce corn. We produce corn. We produce soybeans. We produce other things. And so when you buy something made in China, that expands the United States market. That means the people that sell here all of a sudden have, you know, 2 billion people more that they can sell to. That makes a much bigger market. That makes our economy stronger. So stop all of this jumping up and down. We got to punish China for the Wuhan flu. No, it's not the Wuhan flu. It's the Tony Fauci flu. Let's call it what it is. Let's make this dance the right, you know, the doing the Watusi here. This is the Tony Fauci flu. Okay? Tony Fauci flu. That's it. That's where it came from. He's the guy 100% responsible for it. The Tony Fauci flu. That's the name you should give it when somebody, if you have a comment on a webpage or in a blog, call it what it is, the Tony Fauci flu. Period. Okay. So don't jump on China. Get it straight. The Wuhan lab, which right now they are, I mean, 99.99% pure, 100% convinced that this thing was released from the Wuhan level 4 lab. And I don't doubt that. I thought that right from the beginning. But make no mistake about it, that was the National Institute of Health laboratory in China. And they have these all over the world because it was not legal to do that in the United States. So this incredibly bad thing that has scourged the world for the past, you know, since really before the first of the year, came from Tony Fauci. Okay, so now I want to talk a little bit about treatment, and then I'll go back and talk about schools and school reopenings. Okay, well, I talked to a nurse, a lifelong nurse, now retired, talking about the treatment for the COVID-19, and this nurse said, very frankly, you use steroids, and quoting prednisone and Decadron, I guess it's called, Decadron. And these are steroids, and what they do, now these have been used successfully also for asthma attacks, people with asthma. And what's an asthma attack? Like springtime, you go outside and you're fine, but your friend, I had a friend when I was a kid that had asthma attacks and had to, if it was really bad, would have to go to the doctor and get treatment. I don't know what they did. But typically, all along, they had been using steroids. And so this doctor, Dr. Richard Bartlett, has an interview on YouTube. He's from Midland, Texas. He's a doctor there. He's, 30-some years in the business. He's on TV. He's on the Council of Texas, administrating at the state level for the state of Texas, etc. And anyway, when this whole thing started, he started using a nebulizer, which is a form of, they're used a lot of time with essential oils, but they put it in a vapor form, and then you breathe it up your nose, up your nostrils. And this is very similar, by the way, to what I suggested with hydrogen peroxide, which is known to kill the virus on contact. But anyway, the point of the steroids, and he was using budesonide is the way it's B-U-D-E-S-O-N-I-D-E is the way it's spelled, budesonide. And this has been used for 20 years for a control of asthma attacks or other types of attacks, which are called cytokine storms, where the body overreacts. And now somebody that has asthma, what's going on with them? They breathe in pollen. It affects their body overreacts to it. And so that produces liquids and fluids in the lungs, etc. And it's the overreaction of the body, of the immune system, that is the problem. And that's the case with COVID. And so he also is saying that it has to be treated early, which is exactly what the World Health Organization, the CDC, and Tony Fauci and the National Institute of Health, that's exactly what they were not doing. And he called it right out in the interview. He said what they're doing is a terrible plan. He said they get people in with COVID and their mild symptoms. They send them home, take some Tylenol. When it gets really bad, then come in to the hospital. He said that's wrong. He said that's like letting the house burn all two-thirds of the way down, and then you call the fire department. No, he said you put out the fire as soon as you see the fire. That's when you put out the fire. And he was very succinct. And anyway, he said he has a 100% cure rate, typically the people feel much better within the first treatment. And then it's a number of days treatment. It's about $200 per patient for the nebulizer and the solution, which you can buy at the drugstore. So it's budesonide. And like that concurs with what the nurse told me, just something else. And he made the very special point that in Taiwan, there's no social distancing. Out of 24 million people, there's only 7 people dead. So at any rate, this doctor, he said in Japan, Singapore, Iceland, they're all using the steroid nebulizer treatment. And this is with a nebulizer. I used to have these, and sometimes the nebulizer is just to put it in the air and you breathe in the ambient air in the room. But what he's having his patients do is breathe right out of the nebulizer. So it goes right into the nasal passages and it calms down the cytokine storm. Okay. So at any rate, this is very important. And like I say, this is similar to my solution from the very beginning, which was doing exactly the same thing with hydrogen peroxide. Now, hydrogen peroxide is available in food grade form. You can drink it. People do it every day. It has to be done under controlled circumstances. You don't drink a bottle like you would drink a bottle of Coke. No, you have to drink it under controlled dosages, but you can buy it at the grocery store. That's how controlled hydrogen peroxide is. You buy it off the shelf at the grocery store, and it's not. There's two types of hydrogen peroxide. One is for cleaning, where you would put it on a rag and clean a surface. And the other is food grade, where you would actually put it in, you know, in your diet and take it on a daily basis. And I know people who take it every day. But like I say, you don't drink a whole bottle of it. You have to, and it can be, if you take too much of it, it can make you throw up. It's sometimes used. I talked to a person once that used hydrogen peroxide because their dog had eaten chocolate. Apparently, dogs should not eat chocolate. But anyway, they had to make the dog vomit, and they used hydrogen peroxide to make the dog vomit up the chocolate that it wasn't supposed to eat. So yeah, if you take too much hydrogen peroxide, it foams. That's the thing. It's a foaming agent also. But anyway, there are cures, and these are cures for the COVID-19. And yeah, there is something out there. It's probably mutated, you know, and you know, many times already, not just one. And that's why a vaccination is ludicrous, because a vaccination is not going to target. It's like the flu. When you get a flu shot, what are they doing? They're taking last year's flu strain, which is constantly evolving and changing and going through animals, coming back to humans, etc. And you're taking last year's flu strain, concocting some kind of a potion you call a vaccine, shooting it in people's system, and along comes this year's flu. And what is it doing? The vaccination, and this doctor, Richard Bartlett, also said this: when you take a vaccination or any kind of injection or the steroids, he said, don't inject the steroids with a needle. He said that lowers your immune system. So he said, this guy was right on target, 100%. So we have a cure. There's no more need for social distancing, etc. And it's time to let the coronavirus just get out in the public. And if you're susceptible to it, now they have a cure that's literally 100%. And this whole three-ring circus of COVID ID and Tony Fauci and him actually operating in the interests of Big Pharma and the Bill Gates and the vaccination and putting in chips in people and social tracking and social, tracing, where you have people with a phone app and you're supposed to, you know, if they get near somebody, they send somebody out to your house and they house arrest your kids. I mean, this is absolute nutso. But that's where the world was getting to because of these absolutely insane people running the show. And I'm glad to see Trump also is taking odds with little Tony there. That's a strange thing in itself. My opinion, Tony should have been out of there. He should be in prison for the guy being the guy that actually perpetrated the COVID-19 strain of SARS. Okay. Anyway, on to the next topic. There's a lot of people covering these topics, but I wanted you, my audience, to understand that there is a 100% cure. It's very simple. It's very inexpensive. It's very easy to do. It's not something that requires a great deal of treatment. It has no risk. It has absolutely no risk. This doctor, Richard Bartlett, also talked about patients he had that had one and two types of cancer who are under cancer treatment that should have been dead if they had COVID. And he said they went through this treatment, they got better, and some of them even went back to work. Okay, so I encourage you to go look at that interview. It's on the internet. Just look up Dr. Richard Bartlett, and I'll spell that B-A-R-T-L-E-T-T, Bartlett. And from what I understand, also by now, President Trump has his paper that he put in for publication, President Trump has this information. And he also said very clearly that hydroxychloroquine works when it is used in conjunction with steroids. But he also said there are some risks that he blew off. He said, no, there weren't any risks. But he said they're saying there's some risk for elderly people who take hydroxychloroquine. He said his solution of using steroids in the nebulizer has absolutely no side effects for anybody, no matter what their age or physical condition. Okay, so enough of that. Very important, very, very important to know that we can go back about our lives. And this was bound to come out. And this happens all the time when the liberal left, fear-mongering nutcases, control freaks, etc., come out and do something. You know, it's every time they do something, they seem to step all over their own body parts in doing it. And then some intelligent person comes out and solves the problem, and then we go back to normal life. Now, I have been just going to switch gears here a little bit, but including this same topic. I've been in education a good part of my life. You know, I have a master's degree in physics, nuclear solid state physics. I have a double major in mathematics and physics, my bachelor degree. I have taught mathematics and physics at the university level, and I could read off the entire list of mathematics courses I've taught at the university level, but literally all of them, all of the courses that you would take at the undergraduate level and some at the graduate level, I have taught at the university level, about 10 years of my life doing that. So I've been around education. I got a good education, you might call it a strict education, a private education, raised Catholic. My grade school and high school were with nuns. And then my college was with Christian Brothers. So it was an all-male school with Christian Brothers, relatively strict, you know, in academic sense. And also religion and things like that. But I mean, that aside... I had a very difficult education in terms that it was not easy. When we started my freshman physics class, there were 44 people who had signed up to be physics majors. And the instructor came in at the beginning of the class, and this is a class in a small private college, came into the classroom, and he said, okay, there's 44 physics majors right now signed up. He said, by the end of this first semester, there will be less than 10 of you left. And they knew it. They knew that they were going to weed out the majority of those people. And I was one of 9 people left after the end of that semester. And you could just see them after the first and second test, people dropping out. And I'm like, holy cow. And these were people that were A students coming from big high schools. like out of big cities, etc., dropping out like flies. And I was one of nine that were left, and I was at the top of my class throughout the whole program. And also carried a double major, so I had mathematics. Anyway, my point is, I have been around education. So, that's something I happen to know a bit about. I also realized that education was being watered down when they brought in teachers' credits. In other words, you had to get teachers' credits, teaching credits, to be a teacher in a high school. And I saw this happening with people. They couldn't make the grade in mathematics or whatever the subject was, chemistry, whatever it was. And so then they would take them aside and say, well, you should be a teacher. And so you can take these education courses, you'll get your degree, and then you go become a teacher. So they took the poorest students and put them into education courses and then made them the teachers. And then the teachers' unions came along and said, you cannot teach unless you have a teaching certificate. And so that meant you had to take all these other courses. So the person, like, say, myself, who went on and took all the physics courses and all the math courses and filled out on these kind of courses but did not take education courses, I was blocked from teaching in a high school. I had a much better education. I was much better at the subject. I knew the subject matter much better. But I didn't have a teaching certificate, so I couldn't teach in high school. And they were trying to do this in college, of course. It did not fly. So now I'm just going to talk about education a little bit. And after that, a lot of the colleges saw the business opportunity, and they turned into businesses. And so what they did is they said, okay, now we're going to give degrees, and we have to have 90% of the people pass these classes. And so what happened is they said, okay, if you give a test, there's going to be a bell curve. There's going to be the A's and the F's, not so many of each of those, and then more B's and D's, and then the bulk of people C's. So anybody that gets a C has to be able to pass the course. And this is all the way up through senior year. So no matter how bad you did on a test, you're probably not going to be in the F category. You're probably going to be in the DC category, and you could get a degree based on the bell curve. And then what happened is the student loans programs came along. So it was backed by the federal government. It was not the federal government giving out loans. It was backed by the federal government. So that what you have is banks giving out loans for students, and it's the student loan program, federally backed. And so what happens? The loans were administered through the university itself, and then it was easy to sign up, but somebody had to co-sign for this, and it typically was mom and dad who had a mortgage on the house and maybe had been paying for 15 or 20 years on the house, so they had a lot of equity in the house. And so then they would sign up junior or sis for a student loan. And so all of a sudden, student loans became the biggest debt in the entire country because more and more people were going to college. Okay, so anyway, these are all aspects of college. But what happened is college became more like advanced babysitting. And so lots and lots more people went to college. They reduced the requirements, opened it up. And so the end result is you have massive numbers of people going to college. Now, when the COVID-19 thing comes along, all of a sudden they shut down all the schools, all the school systems, etc. And the other day, I watched the President Trump meeting, a big roundtable event that had educators there from a University of, I think, Pittsburgh, University of Miami, etc., and teachers, grade school, high school teachers, and people from, say, federal offices that administer education, things like that. All of these people having commentary, and they're all their comment was, oh, we got to open up the school for the children. It's all for the children. And once again, but the problem here is that when they open up the schools, as one of the administrators of a university, a state university system put it, they are going to have tracking software required. The students have to have their cell phones. with a tracking app, and they're going to have a COVID-19 test before they come back to school. If they test positive, they're going to be isolated. They can't come to school until they've been isolated. So the schools are taking this COVID thing to the max as far as, you know, social distancing and everything else to make sure that, because the last thing an administrator of a school needs is for them to have a breakout of more cases, and all of a sudden they're held responsible. So they're going to do everything under the sun, throwing in everything, including the kitchen sink, to try and prevent even one student from getting it. And that's a noble cause, but the problem is they don't know what they're doing. First of all, the COVID test isn't a valid test. It does not test for COVID-19. It doesn't test for coronavirus. It's a PCR test. And if you would have given this test to universities 20 years ago, 50% of the population of the school would probably test positive, especially after a weekend, after a big game, for example, when everybody's been out drinking. Probably 50% of the school would test positive just because of that. 20 years ago, long before COVID-19 ever was in the imagination of even Tony Fauci. Okay, so this is a problem. Now, grade schools and high schools, we know they've already put 5G in these. They're going to have social tracing. It's going to be like little Hitlers running around making rules. Everybody's got to follow all these special COVID-19 rules. It's going to be absolutely insane. So, okay, I could go on and on. But the issue is that out of all of this, students are going to have to begin going to private schools. And this whole thing has been a massive disruption. I always said it was good that those schools were closed. But here's the thing, too, is that the kids are driving the parents nuts. And the parents are there going, oh, God, get these kids back in school. We got to have our lives back. Because the parents would send the kids off to school, and then they had a life for at least 6 or 8 hours a day while the kids were at school and other things, and then they could go pick them up or the bus brought them home. And, to have the kids 24/7, it's probably, especially with all the autistic vaccination damaged kids that are running around these days, it's probably driving these parents absolutely bonkers. So, yeah, they want the schools to open, get the kids back in school. Holy cow, you know, get their lives back to normal. But the end result is that the schools never examined what they're doing. The liberal anti-American propaganda that's being taught in the schools, this is going to actually get worse. Because now with all of the social rioting that's going on, now the schools are going to be forced to teach politically correct history. Oh, you can't talk about this guy. You can't even mention him in the classroom because it's politically incorrect. Oh my goodness! So education is going to turn into this. The next generation is going to turn out worse than the one that's here now, which is worse than the one that came out before, which is worse than the one that came out before that. Education is a massive problem. And it's when you hear these people talk about education, it's like, oh, we're for the betterment, et cetera, of the students. But nobody steps back and really takes a look at what they're teaching these kids or what the standards are or what the standards used to be. It's just like, oh, education is good, and we all got to go get the kids back to school without ever thinking about it. I'll probably be talking more about education in the future. But this leaves parents who are forced to pay for secondary education and primary education through real estate taxes. 50% of your real estate taxes go to this, but you really can't send your kids there. You're paying for something that does not serve you well. and you don't have any say in. That's the other thing, because this is controlled by fear. They're right now also they're afraid. They'll be afraid to talk about characters in history. Oh, you can't talk about this person. That person was, everything's going to be this person is a racist. Everybody's going to be, this racist division of the country is going to continue. Like everything and everybody is a racist. And, instead of teaching the positive part, like I said before, that we belong to the human race, end of story. So 3 months ago, you did not hear about racism. And this is, let me just go back a few steps here. This is the game plan that was used to divide and conquer Germany prior to World War II. And of course, they had a lot of economic problems. They had, the results of World War I. They had Alsace and Lorraine removed from them, given to the French, and that was a region that was their agricultural production area. That was their food basket, so they didn't have food. Their money was worthless. There was rampant inflation, and Hitler came along at a time like that, and he just organized the country and militarized the country. But part of that was the destruction of the police force, the creation of the brown shirts, the people that went around asking you if you had your license to do this or for that, and creating racism in a very high level of racism in Germany, and the concept that a certain part of Germany was a superior race or inferior races. And so anyway, they divided Germany because of racism. This was a plan. That was a plan, and they're doing it in the United States. It worked in Germany. It's, and plus you have the complicity with the news media. The news media is behind this, and it's a coordinated effort. So it's really a very difficult thing to fight. And people all over are trying to fight this. But also in the schools, education is a place where they are going to try and bring up a new generation based on racism. And the schools are just going to be filled with this. Everybody's going to be running around with their favorite racism. No, this is a country that's being programmed for absolute disaster. And as one of the key issues, like I said, that's what happened in Germany, pre-World War II Germany, based on racism and, the brown shirts, they got rid of the police departments. They did the same exact thing. Defunded the police, put in the brown shirts. The brown shirts were people that were unemployed that went around checking on everyone else. And now they got the perfect excuse, the coronavirus, of which there is a perfect cure. There shouldn't be any more coronavirus talk at all. Anyway, I'm going to jump off that topic. A few minutes left here in the show. And the grow towers, I want to talk about those. These are becoming very popular. I believe it's very important people have their survival food or storage food stocked up. They have all of their other preparations. But one thing you need is greens and fresh food. And that's why I'm selling the grow towers. It's the best one package that I like as far as people are concerned is the family grow tower system. And the reason is you get three towers, and it really provides you with a lot of food, so much that you will be actually giving it away, or when extra people show up unexpected, which is going to happen, all of a sudden, and then you have something to trade with people. Somebody else might have some fish or some protein of some kind, and you can trade that. So the grow towers, where it takes one-third the grow time, and one-tenth of the space, and 95% less water. So these are amazing systems. They come with everything, including the seeds, all of everything. You just plug it in to a 120-volt socket. You can also run it on inverters. It's a very low power consumption. And they're available also with grow lights, a grow light system. So anyway, go to my webpage. Also, the wing generator, of course, there's still people are writing in asking about the wing generator. And remember, I have the water study that you can send in your zip code and the name of your water company, your water provider that's on your water bill. You can send that in, and we will do a go into the government database, because all of these municipality water systems have been researched, and I can go into those databases and get the information of what's really in your water. So all of that information on my webpage, jmccsci.com. Of course, the containers, brand new shipping containers, never used, or shipping container buildings. And, you know, what I've done is put together a product line. And a lot of this started because of the wing generator. And, of course, for decades now, I've had my water filter company. That goes back about 20 years. I started selling water filters with the original part of this radio show. It was a package deal, and where I was selling a certain brand of water filter, which I don't sell anymore. And then eventually I migrated to Dalton. I sold those for a while, and then I migrated into my own product line. So I have my own name brand water filters, the best on the planet, that remove everything in a single filter. You do not have to have add-ons. And by the way, that's something that nobody tells you about. When you go to buy a water filter like water filter elements, ask the vendor if it takes out arsenic and fluoride in the main filter, and you will find that none of them do. Mine are the only ones that do. The all-in-one GF JMCC water filters. So anyway, just a little bit of promotion there for the items on the webpage. Also, my Patreon channel, slowly that's building up, and that provides me also with a little bit of extra support each month to keep all of these things moving, this webpage. I pay for my own airtime on this radio show based on things that you purchase. So at any rate, go to the webpage, jmccsci.com. This free radio show, etc., it's free to you. I do pay my own airtime, and that comes out of course, the items you purchase on my webpage. So anyway, thanks very much, and I appreciate my great listeners. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.